Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro of the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, binning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
High five to Katie. Well, yeah, well, you guys, welcome
seventh
to the
annual.
Yeah, the seventh annual All Halloween with Steve Stockton and Cisco Murdoch. Thank you both for being here once again.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't miss it.
I couldn't believe it'd been that long. I was thinking, this is like, what, year four or five? And then I looked at the messages. Like, is it really 7 years around?
Yep.
I know.
Yep.
I can't believe it.
It's been a whole year, Steve.
People are still listening to us. How about that, guys?
It actually feels like it's been, well, yeah. You know what? How blessed are we? You know, I still get the comments. You know, that story touched me. This, you know, that one, that guest you had on, I had the same experience. You know, I mean, it never gets old because you're reaching out to touch people, and then they let you know that they were touched. That's like the cream of the crop, and we get to have fun and we get to do this.
Yeah, I'm always shocked that people are still listening to me. That's for sure. But I'm blessed to have you guys back on.
I get all these comments. People, oh, your voice relaxes me. I fall asleep to you every night. It makes me forget my PTSD, my chronic pain, my fibromyalgia or insomnia or whatever. And that's just, you know, that's great.
Well, we get to tell stories. And, you know, I was just thinking this afternoon, you know, again, at the seventh year and Halloween, here we go. And, you know, we're going to do stuff in our house. Everybody is. And you think about why we kind of do this and why we cling on to this subject, the possibilities and the what ifs and the was that what I thought it was and I know what I saw and all of the things and the stories. And you think, gosh, you know, that we can get together once a year and actually have stuff to talk about that's, you know, has like substance to it as well. You know, people, different people's experiences, our experiences, things, stories we've heard. It's amazing that we can keep this going. Not just the 7 years, but how far back has people been interested in this wonderful subject? And it's for the same reasons. I think no matter what century, it's because you lost a loved one or you're intrigued by the unknown or, you know, something you saw and trying to find answers. It's the same, isn't it, Steve?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I have my mic muted there. But I love Halloween, you know, because it's my birthday and everything and just,
yep.
Going back all the years, I'll be 59 this year. Halloween was always the best time of the year. I always had a bunch of people over for a Halloween party. That was when I did my first storytelling. Let's say 1973 at my 10th.
Did you do the flashlight under the chin at the campfires?
It was at a fire. I didn't do the flashlight. We were drinking some hot dogs, and I told the story of the woodman and the goblins, and that just, I had everybody mesmerized, and then I was, and then like, you know, all the rest of the year, everybody on the playground, go tell us a story, tell us that story you told at your birthday party, tell us this, tell us that. So that was where I really started my storytelling, was on Halloween in 73.
What was the name of the story? It was about goblins,
the Woodman and the Goblins. It's an old German folk tale.
And that was your first.
And then you go make them tell that. You going to make him tell that story? Because you can't let him go on.
Yeah, I kind of think that I should.
I tell it on my live stream every year. You'll just have to tune in. I usually tell that one Halloween night.
Well, then I'll let
you. Hey, really? All right.
Then he's got the flashlight under his chin, right? Then we have to implement the flashlight because we'll campfires inside the house are not usually probably. Yeah.
We'll probably do it where he lives out in the middle of the desert now. He's out there with the buzzards, the rattlesnake. Aren't you, Steve?
Yeah. I can build a fire out in the backyard. That's no problem. It's just sand back there.
I bet you, though, Steve, that the supernatural is a little thick. In the air, isn't it? Is it? I bet you the wind. If you just feel the wind, and I know
it's
you've
been
done
real
that.
Windy today, and this is a Four Corners area. We've got shapeshifters, we've got skinwalkers, we've got dogmen, we've got. I don't know if there's any Bigfoot down here or not. Probably there's everything else.
I would hazard to say so. I mean, are you enjoying the desert, Steve? Or you're missing the woods and the forest?
I missed the desert when I lived there in Nevada. I was there for about 10 years in Las Vegas. And, it got to a point where I didn't like not being able to tell one season from another. And there was just way too much sunshine for me there. Vegas gets on average, I think, 310 days of sunshine a year. I like some rain. At least out here where I'm at in New Mexico, there's a monsoon season where it rains a lot. And there is a little bit of fall color here. Now, I'm real close to the Colorado border. If I drove up, we were going to take that narrow gauge railroad from Durango to Silverton and get to see a lot of color up there. But it sold out this year all the times that we could go and didn't make it. But always next year. And I like being that close to Colorado, too. I'm about 40 minutes out of Durango.
Yeah, New Mexico is a state that I have not been. Yet. I don't even know that I've driven.
There's a lot of places to investigate here. There's a lot of ruins, a lot of ghost towns, haunted canyons, a lot of UFO activity. One of the best UFO occurrences or events or whatever that most people have never heard of happened right here in Farmington in 1950. I'd never heard of it. Yeah. I looked it up. It was over 48 hours. There was over 100 disc-shaped craft in the sky doing all kinds of stuff. And then I'm close to Roswell. I'm close to Dulce, where they're supposed to have the underground base of the bodies and the alien human hybrids. The Aztec crash site, that's just down the road. So a lot of cool stuff out here to explore.
Shannon, this might be the last we get to talk to Steve with all that activity, man. He's liable to disappear next time.
Shapeshifter, skinwalker will get me.
Yeah, don't
fall through a porthole.
Don't be traipsing around Dulce, okay? Like, you got to watch the P's and Q's around places like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like going to 51. You know, exactly. You disappear out there, too, if you get too far inside.
Now, Steve, obviously you already mentioned this, but Halloween, actual Halloween, is your birthday. So what are you guys' plans on Halloween this year?
We're going to have a live stream of some sort. Last year I streamed for 24 hours in all time zones, starting like on the evening of the 30th, just as it went midnight into the 31st, started on the East Coast, went across all time zones in Hawaii for all day or all night, pre-Halloween night, then all day Halloween, and then all of Halloween night. I think I streamed for like almost 40 hours continuous.
Now, how did that work? You took breaks?
I had videos or movies or stuff that I would show. I had stuff ready to play. So if I needed a nap or needed to go eat or go to the bathroom or whatever, I just let that play for a while. But it was live for ever how many hours.
And you were just letting people call in and share their stories?
Kind of like the...
I didn't take any call-ins. I wasn't set up to do that, but I can do that this year if I choose to. So.
Oh, boy.
I've got a nice setup here.
I'm telling you what, man, he's got the stuff over there now. He's let him, man, he's gone. He's got so much stuff and so many new gadgets and everything else. It's just lovely to see him grow.
In my what used to be the living room, that's my TV studio now. I've got a green screen. I've got that fireplace that makes a nice backdrop. I've got a four camera setup, a video switcher, all kinds of audio recorders and enhancers.
Never getting them back on the damn farm now.
Do you have
never getting back on the farm?
Hey, Cisco, we need to make sure he has like the pretty lady there, like fanning him and feeding him grapes when he gets hungry, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I've got that for a little while. Sandy's here with me.
It's not busy.
Oh, yeah. Tell Sandy I said hi. I would love to talk to her one of these days, Steve. I know that.
Yeah, you need to turn on sometimes. She's got a really, really scary shapeshifter story about They were out in Chokecherry Canyon. That place was creepy anyway. There were some murders out there in 74. And her and some friends have been out there rappelling at night. And it's literally out in the middle of nowhere. And this old, like, granny woman comes up the road, wouldn't talk to him or anything. And then when she left in her car, this old lady was running along beside her car and keeping up.
Oh, heck no.
I'll just, you'll have to hear her tell the story. She said something else. But yeah, she'll go on and tell it sometime.
When you and Sandy's project comes out, I'll have you both on. I'm waiting for that one with bated breath, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's been the albatross around my neck for months. It's just, we've got the stuff, but it's getting it into the right narrative and making it flow.
That's all right.
And this works, and this won't work, and this, put this here and move this, and just,
It'll happen when it's supposed to. Exactly. It's no easy feat. No easy feat. There's no rush.
Another thing, kind of feel some weirdness, because we're both part Cherokee, but we're very pale-faced. And I think there was some pushback there from some of the Native American community, like, why are you two writing a book about us? You know, because we went out on the reservation and talked to people and talked to family members of some of the people that were missing and all that, went to some of the marches. And So we got some side-eye looks, but once they figured out what we were doing, we were welcomed in and went to people's homes and stuff even. But it's still, it's, you know, you kind of feel that because the Navajo have really been mistreated out here.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Can't blame anybody for that, being apprehensive, you know. And it's a very touchy subject, but it's definitely one that needs to be heralded because nobody's paying attention. So,
yeah.
You know, that I'm sure that they'll see in the future that that's the road they want to go down, you know.
Started the Missing Murdered Indigenous Women Task Force and stuff, a lot of states have. So it's awesome. Getting some attention and... can't remember the lady's name. We've interviewed her. Her grandmother is missing, and she's marching to Washington. I think she's still on her way there now. All the way from here, she's walking to Washington to make a point.
Wow.
Washington, D.C. Yeah.
So, like, anything anybody can do to keep that in the headlines, because that's why I know that they'll come around. But the timing is the whole thing. So, you know, don't be discouraged because, you know, you're probably being used in a timeline we're not aware of yet. But, you know, hindsight.
Hindsight's always 2020.
And I promise you, anybody listening, the more you open up to that, the more it will come. We have done experiments on, you know, on my show and, you know, with Steve and everything out where everybody says, just go out this week and expect a sign, expect a 111, expect a feather or a penny with a date on it, or you know, a cardinal to show up at a noticeable time, something for it, you know. And you'd be surprised at how many people came back with it happened to me and something happened for me. And I'm sure
it's the opposite for me. If I go out expecting something or looking for something, if I try to make something happen, nothing.
Yeah.
I found that if I just leave it alone and just let things happen organically in the way they're supposed to happen, that's when things really take off.
Well, that makes sense as well. But if you're just trying to open up like it's all new to you and you're one that often gets a sign and then doubts it, and, you know, not so much doubts it in a harsh manner, but we're just very used to go, nah, that's a coincidence. You know, when you realize there's not a coincidence, and it's more than likely how you felt it at the very first before you talk yourself out of it, it's so important because it starts happening more and more. You start opening that welcoming, you know, psychic and connection. And
I've got activity here. I mean, I'm an attractor. I've already figured that out because I used to think every house I'd ever lived in was haunted to some degree. And then I figured out a couple of years ago, it's not the houses, it's me that's haunted. Wherever I go, there's something going to show up or follow me. There's three spirits here where I'm living now.
And they manifest differently at each location?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Now, this one, I was up early one morning praying, and I heard an older woman's voice, just as clear as could be, said, God gave me breast cancer. She was, like, offended by my prayers. So I immediately just rebuked her, like, no, God doesn't work that way. God comes to exhort, edify, and comfort. Satan is the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Don't be mad at God. And she hadn't been back. And then we did some research, and there was a lady that lived here at one time back in, I think, 86 or something. prior to that. She died in 86, but stage 4 breast cancer. She just decided she didn't want to go out like that. And she took an overdose and died on the bathroom floor in that back bathroom back there. And there's was such a heavy, oppressive feeling. Sandy didn't even like to go back there, and I didn't either. But it feels lighter back there now. And there's a little boy with black hair and blue eyes that Sandy's seen here, probably about 8 years old. She's seen him face to face. And the only time I saw him, we were sitting out on the back patio one night. We like to sit out there and write when it was warmer weather. And I saw just the top of his head go past the door. The kitchen door's got windows in it and curtains. Come almost all the way to the bottom, and I saw the crown of a kid's head cross over that window. Somebody likes to play around in the bathroom. I've had the toilet paper hidden, had cigarettes hidden from me, stuff moved around, hair care products all laid down on the shelf, and the bathroom lights sometimes would go on and off when we were outside. And it's not a short because, like, if we came in while they were still on, the switch was actually physically up when none of us had turned it on. And then there's a younger female here. I was in there working on my studio set in the living room, and Sandy had just gone out the front door, and I had my back. I was facing the fireplace, and I heard, hello. And it wasn't a, hello, how you doing, but like, oh, hello, what's all this stuff? And I whipped around. There's nobody there. About that time, Sandy came back in, and I said, were you talking to somebody out there? She's like, no, I haven't said a word. And then I explained the whole thing. So there's that one. But the old lady was that was a very dark thing. And Cisco, you and I talked about that. I think she was just angry with God because she thought he gave her breast cancer. She probably cursed God. Mm. And then when she took her own life, she didn't know what waited beyond that, and she didn't want to cross over. So she may still be here, but
yes,
she didn't like me praying, and then I put her in her place for that. So
she's backed off a little bit. She's in a dark corner somewhere, just kind of waiting stuff out a little bit. We'll get her to listen. It's like what we always say when we come on these shows, it's like a therapy. But something I've learned, and even more so this week, losing a dear friend, no matter how much you think I've heard a phrase and I think it's absolutely beautiful. Your heart longs to, your ears long to hear what your heart already knows. And I think that comes with the loved ones that have passed. And that's the whole thing about signs and everything else, is basically just trying to give them a path, and this is a total stranger, but if you don't think in Steve's small amount of time of interacting with the spirit or this earthbound entity anyway, basically the essence of this human that once lived there, she's still touched base. She's still thinking about that connection and what Steve said. Like, how can this man have faith with, look what it did to me, I believed and I'm still hurt. But when we realize that I believe at this point in time, my probably chose a lot of this path. I think the little things and the little choices are all, destiny can always be changed and the future can always be altered depending on how we react to things that happen. But I do think we pick large things to go through, whether it be to, we get on the other side, possibly whatever you want to call it, ascend to a higher frequency or more of a knowing when we get back to the collective, whatever you want to call that, the collective light, the energy, the source, whatever. I think we're all connected. And it's once you realize that, I think a lot of things open up, and it's really easier than we make it. I think it's all intent and what your consciousness is willing to accept at this time. So her consciousness is just starting to think connected into Steve's light and the things that he said. So the next person that goes in there, whether with Steve or without, will be able to expand on that and little by little connecting her back to the light and forgiving herself and understanding going out like that, because they got to connect back into that love, that light, before they can go in some cases. I know that's a long explanation, but it seems to make sense. I mean, like I said, even my loss this week, they'll find little ways. And I promise you, if a cat or a dog or a pet can find that way to come back and say goodbye or, hey, I'm cool. You know, accept that and let it make you feel just a titch better, you know, and little by little going along and trying to understand this magnificent journey that we call life, you know, and even the tragedies we learn so much from and the pain and the wrong choices. And you figure, why would a person ever want to come back and be poor? Well, maybe in another life you were rich and you didn't care about anybody. And this time you want to learn about that. So
yeah.
If you think about it that way.
And it's I believe good. Animals can definitely come back. I stayed with one time. I was sleeping in the spare bedroom, felt the cat jump up on the bed. It got up next to me, it purred.
Yep.
Next morning I said something about, yeah, your cat came and got in the bed with me. And he's like, my cat passed away a long time ago. He said, but I feel the same thing. He said, sometimes I feel him brush up against my leg or I'll hear him or something. But yeah, I felt it jump up on the bed. It got up next to me and it was purring.
Mm-hmm.
It was down on my feet. I luckily didn't try to pet it or anything or I would have been shocked.
They have a way of doing that. But you know, it's almost like having that deja vu where you try to like tap the brakes when you're having it and you realize you're having it. So you can kind of look around and try to remember and see what's familiar to you, what's trying to remember what happens next. You never can quite catch it right. And then once you start paying too close attention, it goes away. And I think ghosts are a lot like that too, especially the ones that are coming back to visit. You know, you always notice that like the grandparent that comes back before you even know they've passed at the hospital to come by your bedside and say goodbye and a smile and I'm okay before they go out the, you know, missed out the door or the wall. You know, those little quickies, you know, and I think pets do that an awful lot, too. And I think that those, you know, are kind of the ones that are more so connected and so high vibrational that they're riding in and out on that love light so easily. That's why I say with pets, you know, they come back so quickly if they show themselves and they're healed. They're not limping anymore. They're not, they don't have that arthritis, you know, feel to them. They're bright eyed and bushy tailed. And it's like that with some spirits, but like the one that you have in your house, she's not done that cross yet. She's still dealing with, you know, and I've seen it through other people that went similar to her where they're getting it and they realize by helping another that maybe they're connected to that energy of, it could be a total stranger or a mere, you know, mere acquaintance, you know, to somebody that they're very close to. It doesn't matter. The spectrum is wide in my experiences. And they'll come in for momentarily into that person's life and do little disruptions here and there to try to stop them from making the same choices.
Yeah.
Even before they've crossed over and fully ascended to whatever this next level thing is. Because their energy is somehow their consciousness understands that if they do that, it will help them and the living person.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, amazing subject. It's mind-boggling, and it's
this was an opportunity to witness to somebody or preach a little, even, you know, that maybe they'd never thought of it in that regard.
I'll tell you, Steve, it's, you know, who am I? I'm no expert. I, you know, I don't know Jack. 50 years later, I can say that in all honesty. But my guess at this point in time would be she's not mad at God. She's mad at herself, and she wants to forgive herself at this point. And doing the things that she's done. And it's that kind of thing. And the fear. It's like maybe because some people will get mad at whatever, put your religious name here, because they've been told these things that have kept them in a cage and structured them and separated them from each other. When the real answer is everybody is all connected and there should be no separation, because like that old elder told me, it's, you know, your own intent, whatever your groove is, your groove. We're all going to the same place. We're all accountable for what we do. We're accountable for each other and the kindness or you know, or the pain we show each other. We're accountable for those things. And I think we are for the dead as well. If we come across someone who just so happens to be dead, whether they come to us or we stumble upon them, you know, a kindness, I think, is what's called for. Just like you open the door for a stranger going into a convenience store.
Yeah, same difference.
Now, Steve, I think that I misheard it or the audio dropped out, but did you say the little boy has black eyes?
No. Black hair and blue eyes.
Black hair, blue eyes. Okay. I was like, oh, we're getting in a whole other subject. All right.
Oh, nice
drive, Jack. I don't know if you've ever heard that story, but I had a black eyed kids encounter back in the 90s, and that's
all right. I got pictures hanging on my wall.
That's the scariest I've ever been. Did that just something fall off your wall?
No, I said, let me take the stuff off the wall before you tell the story. Because
a lot of times when I tell that story, weird stuff will happen. The first time I ever told it was on one of Art Bell's shows. It wasn't his original, it wasn't on Coast to Coast. It was what was later, Incarnations, Midnight in the Desert, or something like that. And Art was sick, and Heather Wade, his producer, was running the show that night on air, and she and I are friends, you know, apart from all this, and she knew the story, and she kind of goaded me into telling it, and I told it live, and it was really cool, because during one of the many commercial breaks, Art called in to tell her what a good job she was doing, and then he also told me, oh, Steve, I really liked that story. So I got to talk to Art Bell on Art Bell's show, but I wasn't on the show with Art Bell, but close enough.
That was close. Hey, that's a big old feather in your cap, because most of us have not had a chance to talk to the great Art Bell before he passed. Well, did you feel like sharing that story, or do you have other things to share on this edition that you were?
I can tell it, but no telling what will happen. I was getting to that part the night that I told it on there after we got off the show. I don't remember. I did like 2 or 3 hours on there, I think, with her. I was getting ready to go to bed. It was probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning at that point. And I heard what sounded like a scream that started on the front porch, came through the door without opening it, all the way through the living room, through the parlor that had been a dining room at one time, into the kitchen, out on the covered back patio out there, and just kept going. And again, I had perimeter alarms. I had motion detectors. I had everything. None of that went off. The cameras didn't catch anything. The didn't trip any alarms. And I thought something was wrong with my daughter. She was living in with me at the time. So I ran to her and flung open the door. I'm like, are you okay? She was sound asleep. And she just kind of looked up at me all groggy-eyed and said, yeah, why? And I said, you didn't hear all that screaming? And she said, no, but I told you, don't talk about those damn black-eyed kids. So... So do you want me to tell it? I can tell a short version of it.
No, I would love to. What do you think, Cisco?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll tell you what. If I get Jehovah's Witnesses at my door at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming. I'm calling you. I'll tell that real quick after he finishes it. Don't shoot, Steve.
Okay. Well, this is back in the 90s. I was working at a medical management company. We managed 35, I think, at that time, remote doctor's offices. And our idea was, doctors, how brilliant they may be, a lot of them don't have any business sense. So we would run the practice and leave them free to practice medicine. But we'd handle, you know, the money side of it and the management of everything else. And I was doing that full time. Well, down the street, there was a place that girlfriend at the time worked. I was a comprehensive breast center. And this was just... They were moving from dumb terminals to an actual PC at everybody's desk. And I got the contract to go in and do the networking. So I would finish my regular job around 5 or 6 and head down the street to this place and sometimes work till midnight or after, running Cat 5 cable and setting their network up. And I was just about finished. It was a several week gig anyway. And one night I was coming out of the place about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was in an isolated area. It was kind of an industrial park, but there was medical buildings and stuff in there too. But it wasn't a residential neighborhood or anything by any means. Came out, and I'd parked out at the end of the lot closest to the front door, so because I had stuff to carry in. And over on the other side of the lot, there's these two little girls sitting over there on the curb. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. You know, that's 2 a.m. There's two kids out here. There's no houses or anything around here. Don't know what that's all about. So I'm trying to get my stuff in the car. I was driving a little Miata convertible at the time, so the trunk wasn't much bigger than a glove box on a lot of cars. So I was trying to fit a spool of cable and network tools and tone generators and all this stuff in there. I looked up, and they had gotten up and had walked closer to me, but they were still standing still. And that was one of the other weird things. They never moved when I was looking at them. But if I went back to what I was doing, then look up again, they would be that much closer. Well, when they got under one of the street lights, they were within probably, oh, I don't know, 10, 20 yards of me. I could see that they didn't have, they just had black where their eyes should be. And very simple clothing, dark pants, dark hoodie, hood pulled up. And the little one, I'd say she was probably 8 or 9 years old. I'm guessing the taller of the two was older, and she probably would have been about the size of a 12 or 13 year old. Well, they're getting close enough now that I can hear them or hear the one. The smaller one never said anything, but the bigger one started jabbering. And I mean, it was like a litany. And every time I look up, they'd be closer, and then I could hear her plainly. It's like, he'll let us in the car. He'll take us with him. He won't leave us out here. It's cold. It's dark. We're hungry. First of all, it was cold, but it wasn't dark. It was in the summertime because I had the top down. And just that over and over and over. And then finally, because I'm totally spooked by this point and just had this total ridiculous fear response. I mean, it wasn't even fight or flight. It was just pure flight. By the time I got everything in my car and got ready to get in, they were right up next to the door. They could have just opened the door and got in. But I fumbled with the keys, and for whatever reason, even though the top down, I'd locked the car, and I ended up just jumping over the door and into the driver's seat. And they're still just standing right there, staring at me with those what should have been eyes, but it was black, like space or in a cave or something. And the one still just, he won't leave us out here. He'll take us. It's cold. It's dark. We're hungry. Same thing, just over and over and over, like a recording. And I fumbled with the keys. I finally got the car started. It roared to life. I put it in gear. I popped the clutch. Instead of backing out of my spot, I just drove down through the lawn of the place. I jumped the curb and just didn't look back till I was out of the. But it was that fear that was rolling off him. I've never, ever felt. I've had some pretty hairy situations, but that was the most fear I've ever felt. And it was a ridiculous fear. It was two little girls. Of course, it was 2 o'clock in the morning in a parking lot. First of all, that's not a good scenario anyway. They're wanting two of them to get in a seat that was meant for one person and me take them somewhere. That wasn't going to happen. And they've got these black eyes, and the one never stopped talking. And I've got this total fear thing going on. And the whole way home, in fact, when I got out to the main highway, I usually would spend the night at my girlfriend's house because she was only a couple miles from where my day job was. Well, that night I turned the other direction, drove all the way to my parents' house, which is like 20 miles away. But the whole time I'm tearing down this four-lane highway, I'm looking back over my shoulder. I'm looking in the seat to make sure they're not there. I'm looking in the rearview mirror to see. I expected to see them hanging on to the spoiler on the back of the car, or maybe run along beside it or something. I get to my parents' house. Instead of parking in the driveway, I went all the way around behind the house and parked under a tree. Now, they were asleep. They didn't know anything about it. I got in. I locked the doors, made sure all the doors and windows were locked. And I spent the rest of the night peeking out the window, which ridiculously for these two little girls. I mean, if they had walked to where I was, it would have taken them all night. I get weirded out when I tell it. It's like I relive it each time. It's kind of a little PTSD. I get a little shaky in the voice there. My palms are sweaty.
It's that fear. And I think that, you know, you kind of like you connect into it. Like they say that don't speak of the things in the woods, they'll hear you.
Yeah.
I think there's a connection here in some way with that. I can't ever get past that.
I didn't think about it till you. Anyway, I looked out the windows all night until the sun came up, called in my regular job, called out sick, and I stayed at my parents' house and slept. Went back later and finished the job. I only had a couple more nights, but I took my girlfriend with me and made her stand watch. But I've never seen them again. And I've had people ask, would you want to? And part of me says, hell no. But then there's another part of me that says, I'd almost like to see them again because I got to watch what I say here. Because I feel like I'd be more prepared. But it wasn't until about a year ago, I had told somebody my story and they were going to retell it with some other stories they were telling about black-eyed kids. And when I heard somebody else tell it, that was the first time I ever felt any kind of empathy or pity on those little girls, because whatever it wasn't those little girls. If it even was little girls, that may just been like a projecting or a screen memory or something, like Whitley Strieber was always seeing owls. But then under hypnotic regression, it was gray aliens.
Wow.
So But it was
You never know how they put it into your head.
Those
you
little
know,
girls or whatever they were, if they weren't little girls, there was an evil attached to them. And that's what scared me so bad. It was just, I mean, demonic feeling, just pure evil. But that's the short version.
Well, that's more than a gist. That's for sure. Yeah.
Now, if anything falls off the wall, which I've had happen, I had all my paintings fall off a wall one night.
My electronics went out. He told us on my show. Now, to bring back what I told in the beginning, he tells us on my show, we're right in the middle of it.
Yep, there she went.
Yeah, you just dipped out, actually.
And he, all the electronics went off. My phone went from 98% the last time I had looked at it a few minutes before to zero. Everything went just, now I was able to bring everything back up, which is weird, to plug it into a different spot. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Eventually, we got things back up. But, you know, we've had pictures come off the wall, vases fall off the table. So that morning,
I had a glass bowl of wax fruit that exploded. It's exploded. A million pieces when I was telling it on a show. So if anything weird happens, also people listening, I've had people write me and say, I listened to your Black Eyed Kid story and this happened or that happened or my dog started howling or I could hear the doors opening and closing or the water came on in the bathroom upstairs. So whatever it is, it doesn't like me talking about it. But it seems to have a little less and less influence each time.
Each time, yeah.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
And the scream. Now, that night, I went to bed and I got up about, I guess it was about 7:15. It was the night after the show. We'd had all the electronic problems. And I'm walking down the hallway, and to go down the hallway to my kitchen, you've got to go past the front door. Right on my left, where the front door is, there's a bang, 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 like a cop knock. No offense to anybody, any police officers out there. But you know what I mean by the boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, I've had those, and they always come in threes. Boom, boom, boom.
Yep, boom, boom, boom. I turned around, and out of nowhere, I just always go into like a crazy song or a high vibration because it usually throws something like that off and throws their energy back if you hit them with a high vibrational thing. I know it sounds crazy, but try it next time. Try singing a crazy song.
It works. It works.
So I jumped out with a rendition of Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog that anybody would have been proud of. And I'm singing at the top of my lungs. I'm dancing in my hallway. And then all of a sudden I reached down, snatched that doorknob up, and opened that door. And two Jehovah's Witnesses came there with a copy of the Watchtower with their big old eyes and a big old look on their face. And man, we just to give you a copy of this and invite you to the thing. And I'm like, man, I am so sorry. So that's why I said that in the beginning. It was no affront to any religious groups whatsoever. It was just the fact that when I opened the door, I expected Black Eyed Kids, and I got
Jehovah's Witnesses. Those a lot in Portland, and I would let them in and talk to them. I actually like the artwork in those little lines, the magazines, the the apocalyptic stuff.
Don't ask me.
The cities are on fire and the people are marching away with big smiles on their faces.
Yabba dabba, that's all, folks.
But what's Aware and the Watchtower? But I'll let them in and talk to them. They would always come in Portland on Sunday mornings. I guess they figured if I wasn't in church on Sunday morning, I must be a heathen, and they needed to come and talk to me. So.
Yeah. Well, they weren't completely wrong there, Steve.
Yeah, heathens we be.
Heathen for sure. I have church on the inside, so.
But I know we could visit for like ever, and I know Shannon, I promised you this, that if something happened last year throughout the year, I would save it for you to tell it on Halloween, and I wondered if you would like to hear a little table tipping story.
I would love that.
And I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Table Tip, and I know that Steve is. And this is beyond belief a humdinger if I have ever seen one. Now, it goes way back. What spiritualism era, Steve? What is like 1890?
Late 1800s, early 1900s. Yeah, my grandmother and that side of the family were all about it. They did table tippings. They held seances. They played with Ouija boards, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, and it goes way back, and I can't tell you what the difference between a table or if it's coffee table or if it's, you know, why couch. I can't answer those questions. I can only tell you that where I went was a lovely place that you've heard me speak of before, and that's the Hoover House in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. And it's just outside, very close to Antietam, very close to Harper's Ferry, if anybody knows Civil War at all, and very close to Gettysburg. So we had gone out for a Gettysburg Bash, which is a paranormal convention, and I usually get with friends, and that's what you do. You do the table and the vending during the day, and at night you go out and you do what you do. And I never know where I'm going to wind up, and I've had some amazing experiences in Gettysburg and Waynesboro. And I think last year I had told you we had done table tipping, and we crossed a young girl, a little 8-year-old girl. I was choked by a prostitute in the old speakeasy, and she was just there to help the guy that had killed her. So there you go. That was last year's episode. So on Shannon's show, so you can go listen to that one if you like. But so I never know what I'm going to see when I get there, or what I'm there to do, or what may happen. But they never cease to amaze. So we are sitting in a room, imagine if you will, a very old 1800s, I believe it was built the same year the Titanic went down. So that's what, 1912. So we're in there, and it's, you know, the beautiful dark wood, the mahogany staircase, you know, the old parlor, and they bring in the small table, and say what you will about that, but similar to putting your fingers on a planchette, on a Ouija board, or anything else. As far as I'm concerned, it's similar. It's similar. But in this antique table, it's been used so much by this one lady that they basically, her spirit guide works through this and brings other spirits through who are wanting to talk to people in the room. So that gives you a gist of it. You place your fingers along the table. You keep your knees and your feet tucked so there's no strings, there's no poles, there's no magnets, there's no anything like this. And once you've spent 10, 15 minutes in here, you're going to be assured of that too, because I've been there with paranormal investigators with all the best equipment, laying on the floor, looking up at the bottom of the table. There's no trickery that I can see anyway. So we're sitting there, and we're with a lovely intended group sitting around the table, and everyone sitting at the table that had ability was very quietly offering the spirits in the room, the good spirits through their spirit guides, their energy to try to help two or three people in the room that needed a little more convincing or needed that ever sought after message from the other side or a loved one. Because most of us sitting around the room had those already. So it's a really cool thing to offer that. Here, use some, like a battery, use my energy to help this person. This person really needs to get this message. So that's basically what's going on at this particular time. I'm sitting at the table and several others, about five people. One of the girls there, she had come, she had done this once before, but she had lost her grandparents since. And they, of course, came through. Now, this is a really nice, warm, lighted kind of place. There's nothing being skulls about this at all. There's no demonic stuff and, you know, boards creaking and, you know, saying get out. This is a totally different side of the supernatural, paranormal. And it's an amazing thing to be a part of. Her grandmother comes through, gives her lovely messages. Her grandfather is standing by, and the grandmother is kind of speaking through this table and telling her that he's there too, but she's speaking for him. And they do this through a series of, it bends yes towards the person that the message is for. The whole table will tip toward that person. And sometimes it leans in when it says goodbye and leans in and presses on the person's lap or, you know, like toward their torso, depending on how they're sitting, as what is understood to be a hug. And I've had these, and I'm telling you, to be on the receiving end of that will convince you with zero doubt in your mind, because you can feel it. You can feel the love exchange. It's amazing. So this girl is just receiving these hard-earned messages and love. And she's believing as she's sitting there. She's, like I said, done it before. She brought a family member who was completely against it and completely negative to the whole thing and kept telling her she was crazy for even believing it. but she's sitting in the room. So when the grandmother leans in to hug her and say basically goodbye, we ask a question about, is there anyone else here for her? We get a no. And then we get someone else in the room. We get a yes. And it's leaning towards the person answering the question. Yes. And we find out through a series of questions, it's for the person that she brought with her that does not believe. And through another series of questions, we find out that this person who does not believe has lost a grandmother on the other side of the family. She started to tear up a little bit when we got the name and that they were there for her. And she is not even sitting at the table. She is sitting on a lovely antique chaise lounge that's across the room. We start to find out another person and I at the table at the same time got the message. This person who passed was died and she was in a wheelchair. We both got it at the same time. And we both said it out loud. And the table said yes. And then the living person she was there for confirmed this. Someone else at the table that was helping said, I'm getting that she had an amputated leg. And that's why she needed the chair. And this other person and I both got the message loud and clear and said it at the same time yet again, twice in a row, not anymore. And the table started to shake. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? I'm feeling this surge of energy that's just absolutely palpable. And the person who did this all the time and was with the table said, it's almost like it's trying to move. It like wants to get up and, you know, and move. So we stand up with our fingers lightly touching the top of the table. And again, like I said, there's 5 people, so 10 hands. And we awkwardly start kicking the chairs away behind us because this table is actually trying to slide in the direction of the person sitting on the chaise lounge that is here to speak to. And I'm thinking, man, it's trying to slide towards her, like maybe to lean in, like to give her a hug or something is what I'm thinking. We're all standing up, keeping our hands on the table. We're walking with it as it starts to push itself across the floor. Nobody's moving this table. Someone else who's also familiar with this says, oh my gosh, it's really trying to slide over there. And then all of a sudden, one side of the table comes up, like in a Disney movie, imagine Mickey, and there's a table walking towards Mickey. It lifts up one side and moves forward and goes down, lifts up the other side, moves forward and goes down. This table is now walking on its 4 legs in a series of flip-flop, teeter-totter movements. And at each time it's doing it, it's moving ever closer to the person sitting on the couch. And she sees this table very slowly coming towards her. And she leans back in the couch and her arms come out almost like in a welcoming, oh my gosh, hug kind of thing, gesture. Her eyes are getting big. And I look back down at the table and it's just moving. It's basically walking towards her, gets right in front of her, and then just itself towards her, pushes into her lap, gives her a hug, backs up, and of course at this time we all look at each other's faces with these big smiles on, and then it just smoothly slides back under our hands as we walk along with it and goes right back to where it was before. And me and Bob look at each other in the face and say, not anymore. Your grandmother just walked to you, showed you that she could walk now. She has her leg is back, and she wanted to walk across the room and give you a hug to show you there is an afterlife. Love is eternal, and we heal on the other side. Booyah!
Wow. I bet she's a believer now.
Yeah.
She had a hard time. She had a hard time. She got extremely emotional, had to leave the room, and was just crying and trying to process. But sometimes it takes a while for those things to sink in. But there was no doubt in our minds what had just happened, and she no longer needed that wheelchair. And that was an absolutely beautiful thing to witness.
Cisco, let me ask you about table tipping. Since this antique table had been used before, then do you think that in theory it's easier? I mean, I know it depends on the intent of the people around the table and all that, but if a table's been used before and been active and had quote unquote spirits through it before. Do you think that it would be easier then to have an accession similar to the one that you just described, or does it not matter? It's all about the people around the table.
Honestly, I think all of that is true at the same time, and they're not mutually exclusive. I think whatever works. I think that it has to do with that table. These people that were involved in this, that do this, you know, often, I wouldn't say all the time, but have done it more than once. They'll often be in like an antique shop or something and see a little table that kind of like sticks out for them, and they get it. And basically their spirit guides will use that to connect. Because in this spot where they've got it kind of down and they do it all the time, I do believe there's a well-worn path of energy somehow with certain spirits to that, you know, that very house, those very people that all get together. I believe that the intent and the energy coming together definitely has a lot to do with it. I believe that when we sat down there, there was actually probably one or two people that had to use most of their energy to over, you know, kind of override some of the negative energy that was in the room, as far as the disbelief and this isn't happening, they're all nuts, that kind of stuff, not evil or anything, just disbelief. And you have to counteract that weight. Energy is energy, you know. But the ones that gathered in nothing but love to say, if you need my energy to get this message to this total stranger from another total stranger, I think that has so much power of it being in agreement and using your energy to do that in a good way. I think it has more power than getting together and using negative energy for something bad. But the both are true. Things can happen. But as far as the table having more, it just has to do with whatever spirit is coming through. In this case, it's like spirit guide that is familiar with that table will actually work with the dead and their spirit guides, I would imagine, to bring that spirit through. But you definitely see an easier time of it if that spirit has been through before with the spirit guides, you know, that have been there before. It's just very quick process. And so there's got to be something to be said for all the things you mentioned. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for answering that. That stuff is fascinating. Yeah. Now, exclusive to the Huber House, we've talked about that place a lot. Very active property.
A light.
As far as the Huber, what's that?
It's like a light. It's like, you know, like Steve said, they're attracted to him. Imagine many people with those lights going into a place as dark as things are right now and just shining this beacon of love and hope for like all of these people to come through and finally connect to their loved ones, or connect to like that little girl going out. Didn't even know to do that, but she was drawn to the light. And in 108 years, she finally felt love again. She was drowned in a tub by her own mother. So there goes your trust. There goes the person that's supposed to love you the most. There goes, that's a long road back from that kind of darkness to be able to see the light again, let alone feel it. So there's other spirits there that kind of usher those kind of spirits in. Like, here you go, honey. This is a nice warm light, you know. Isn't this nice? And then all of a sudden you've got somebody that, for whatever reason, connecting those two energies, connecting together, like Steve said, drawn to him, you know, this one lady that for some reason had enough energy to say, God gave me that. I'm mad at God, you know, at that moment, still connected into his light, whether she knew it or not, almost like completely unintentional. And I think a lot of those encounters are like that, but they're still connecting with something. They recognize in your energy, either like the suicide people that come back and maybe try to help somebody who might be thinking about suicide, like in the Rowdy Rodney Piper ghost story, for instance. He had a wrestler that had died. If you don't know who that is, he was a fantastic wrestler, best wrestler in a kilt ever. And he struggled with that until he realized, no, this guy is here to help, because I myself have had thoughts of the drug addiction and, you know, offing myself and giving up, and it renewed his life, and that helped that spirit as well. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. It really is.
I mean, as you say, when you have folks like you and Steve that are sensitive, and you put you guys in a place like that, and then you're inviting things in. I can only imagine the kind of stuff that goes down.
So many good things seem to happen there so quickly. We often joke about when you get something like this, Steve and I say it all the time, we get more stuff done in 45 minutes than a whole season of one of these shows. And that's the way it is. You know, we want to be scared. We want to hear the stories. We want to see, hear experiences of other people to validate our own, or just, you know, an interesting story, and that's fine. But when this stuff really happens and you start to back away from it a little and get that 40,000 foot view, you know, we really only understand little pieces of all this. We think we understand it at this time, what our consciousness is ready to accept. That young girl on the couch got the same message from the same spirit via that walking table, you know, from her grandmother who had had her leg amputated. And this I found out after. The young girl felt so guilty for not going to see her grandmother in that state at the hospital that she was killing herself and eating herself up with guilt for not doing those last goodbyes and not doing as much as she could, because it frightened her to see her grandmother like that. It hurt her. So here comes her grandmother from the other side via probably a totally stranger spirit guide that was there for other people, using other people, strangers' energy, to get enough energy to create that visual for that young lady who did not believe in the afterlife, not only to give her proof that life goes on and love is eternal, but to show her that you can forgive yourself, that none of that matters. I love you. Here's a hug. And by the way, no longer need the wheelchair, young lady. So stop beating yourself up. Beautiful.
Love that story. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Cisco. Well, Steve, was there, I know you've already shared some things, so if you don't, it's totally fine, but I didn't know if there was a specific story that you wanted to make sure that you shared on this edition.
I didn't have one in particular. I do want to talk about the table tipping, though. Like I said, my mother's family, they were into that. They were into spiritualism around the turn of the last century. And they did the table tipping. My grandma told fortunes by several various means, tea leaves, coffee grounds, animal entrails. But I've heard my mom talk about when they would have some of those table tipping sessions, they would even put stuff up on the table to try to keep it from moving, like a 50-pound sack of beans, or even some of the smaller kids, they would set them up on the table. And she said that table, it would creak and groan, and you could tell that it was trying so hard to lift up. And I thought that was amazing. So it does have a limit as to what it can do physically. But then she said when they took whatever was on it off, then it would, you know, then it would start tipping again. But my dad, when they first got married, he sat in on some of those with my mom's family. He said they hooped and hollered like a bunch of heathens. I can't imagine, but he didn't quite know what to make of it.
It's quite amazing, though. But, you know, Steve, it doesn't seem like it's any difference whether it's a pendulum or whether it's a, you know, a Ouija board in the right hands with the right intent, with the right, you know, all of that. Of course, you know, we have protection and put protection to close the portal and the, you know, the whole shebang. I don't want to go without saying that is, you know, kind of like, you know, friends don't let friends Ouija, you know, not without the right stuff.
But then my mom had 9 brothers. She was the only girl. And my uncle, I.A., he would have been the 7th son, except my mom messed that up. But he ended up being a Baptist preacher. And when he got religion, he converted everybody, and spiritualism went out the window and stuff. So that kind of put an end to that. But prior to that, they had some really, really interesting adventures in spiritualism.
Mm. Isn't it funny how we put each other in little boxes like that? Like I said, we just let go. It's very much like Avatar. Everything's connected. The plants, the trees, the earth. It's all been proven. You know, I mean, for the Pete's sakes, minerals will move to a certain sound to make beautiful mandalas and beautiful symbols. And it, you know, if you yell at a plant, it will die. You know, grass, you cut grass, there's definitely energy that's released. So, you know, for animals and for people and for friends and yourself, all part of that energy.
It's all out there. God is in the numbers. You look at the Fibonacci sequence.
We're all connected.
It's all connected. It's every living thing, and probably a lot of inanimate things share that energy, and the Schumann resonance, you know, the vibration that the earth vibrates at.
Yep.
And,
and solve frequency.
Another little story about that. My brother, he was a Pentecostal minister, and he had some people come to him one time that were like modern day gypsies, and they told fortunes and things, and he converted them over at their own request. The little place they lived is over on Alcoa Highway in East Tennessee. Had a big sign out front, palm readings, tarot card readings, $5. So he got them converted over to Christianity. So the next time he drove by there, they had a big sign out front that said Bible readings, $5. So they just substituted. Just replaced their tarot cards with the Bible, and they were telling the fortune with the Bible. And he's like, I don't think that's how it was supposed to work. They're getting closer.
That's so funny. But, you know, that's it, though. I think they just don't. The big secret is I think they don't want us to know that, you know, it's so simple. You know, if you do something bad, you're going to feel bad. It's like Lincoln said, if I do something bad, I feel bad. If I do something good, I feel good. That's my religion, that Abraham Lincoln. So, I mean, it's the same thing. But we're all connected. And if they realize, like so many people that come back from NDEs and everything tell us that we hold ourselves accountable, we're the ones who run ourselves through the sifter there and the, you know, and judge ourselves. And then we want to go back and fix it. And, you know, that works into everything. It's like if people just realize that everything connected, the aliens, the interdimensionals.
I think there's only so much good stuff you can tap into before you hit your limit. That old saying, let no good deed go unpublished, unpunished. Mm-hmm. How many times have you ever done that where you've done something really, really good and then something bad will come around? It's like there's a balance there. And you have to not overdo it on one side or you get the other side after you.
So, yin and yang. It's all about the balance and being able to, you know, be a rock and learn to roll, you know. Yeah. But if you've got the spirits of the dead, they're dying to tell us that, you know, love is eternal. It's not as big a deal as you're making it out to be. Roll with the punches, be the best human being you can be so you don't have to come back here and talk to people through this stupid old board.
I wouldn't want to have the karma that some people have coming to them. That's all.
Amen.
No, I agree.
I believe in the reaping and sowing. You sow, you reap what you sow, so make sure you're planting a harvest that you want to reap because that's what you're going to get. You plant a kernel of corn, you don't get an ear of corn back. You get a stalk, and on that stalk there might be a dozen ears. And on each of those ears, there are hundreds of kernels. So just think of what one kernel of evil has the same effect.
Grow a crop worth
sowing. Sow good seeds. There you go.
Yep. Shannon, I can give you one real short one to take us out on this beautiful Halloween.
I would love that.
I'd love to do it. I'd love to do it for my little friend. Too many things are too close to the surface, but I'd be remiss if I didn't share this with every listener who's ever lost a friend. My young man was 17 when he passed. He was my best friend. His name was Dickens McGee. He happened to be a big old orange cat who ruled this place. And very smart, very intellectual, very, you know, just lovely. Just a lovely brother, beautiful soul. So he had talked to me, being the fact that I have this podcast and I'm able to talk to wonderful, talented people like mediums and animal communicators. He's given me messages throughout this time that I've been involved, which is pretty much all his life. So he came through this one animal communicator about 4 or 5 years back. Steve, remember this, by the name of Kathy McCarthy, wonderful lady. And he was supposed to go in on a Friday night. She actually makes appointments with pets and you give them they give their permission to use their energy and talk to this. It's amazing how it works. Anyway, we tried it. She comes back the next day and starts giving me personal sentences that I have said to him over the years that only he and I knew.
Don't you love it?
And one of those was, first of all, he showed up early while she was talking to 2 Dobermans and a Chihuahua and just busted in on their conversation and said, excuse me, Cisco sent me. Do you know who I am? And she said she had to stop the whole conversation with the Dobermans to tell him, you know, you're going to have to wait your turn and all that. It was so funny, the conversation. But that one got me when she said, you know who I am, because I always tell everybody when we're fighting in the house, you know who he is, you know who you're talking about. So it was something he gave me back, and we were satisfied that she had actually talked to Mr. Dickens. So of course he's passed this week, and we had a lovely funeral, and he went out a warrior, I assure you, in much love. The last sentence he heard human lips say while he was here was, love is eternal, I'll see you again. And he paused, and I felt him go right through me. So the next morning, and I promise you I did, the next morning, my husband loves to watch movies loud. He's a little hard of hearing, but he just likes it loud and boisterous. He's a musician, need I say more. And he was watching Godfather at probably 7:15 in the morning. And I felt something on me. I don't know what it was, but it was one of those things that startled you out of a sleep and made you sit straight up, like one of those almost sweat dreams, but there was no dream. I just sat straight up. And the first words I hear come out of the statement made in The Godfather, "Do you know who I am?" And it was Mo yelling about Las Vegas. And it was a famous quote that he gives in The Godfather. And that's the first thing I heard that morning after I buried my baby.
Mm.
And I believe that's him coming in and go, "Yes, darling, I know exactly who you are. And I will see you again. Go chase butterflies till I get there." So there you go. That was three times he brought that statement to me through mediums over the years. And that was his way of saying, "I'm all right, Mom. I'll catch you on this side." So I think I got a new spirit guide, Shannon. If you think about it that way, you know, they're free and they can come back and give you and show you that love is eternal. And they were here to show us unconditional love. And, you know, so everybody out there who's lost a loved one, please understand, just love them, remember them, and say things that make you both smile, because you're helping both of you. And I know it's hard to do that, but, you know, just be the light in the darkness. That's what we need right now. And I love you all. And happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, everybody.
Thanks for sharing that, Cisco. I'm so sorry about your precious little man there. But can you guys please, before we go, let everybody know where to find your shows, your books, all your good stuff?
Okay. Well, my books are available on Amazon. I co-wrote one with Cisco. "We Are All Children in the Wilderness of the Afterlife, A Guided Tour Through a Haunted Life." Took me 2 years to be able to say that without crippling my tongue.
Rolled right off your tongue, baby.
And I've got My Strange World, which is autobiographical, my own paranormal experiences. I've got Strange Things in the Woods, which is experiences of friends of family and things like that. And then I've got three volumes so far of the National Park Mysteries and Disappearances series. And those are a lot of fun. And first one's about the Smoky Mountains. Then I've got about a volume about California, and then one about the Pacific Northwest. More of those on the way. And Shannon, thank you for helping me get those out to where people can get them.
Absolutely.
And on YouTube, Missing Persons and Mysteries is my main channel. We just passed 237,000 subscribers this morning and growing. We've got a true crime channel that's going to be coming online just any day now. And also my fun channel, my hobby channel, 13 Past Midnight. Go over there and see what we're right now in the middle of 31 nights of Halloween. And I'm just about to 10,000 subscribers over there. I think I'm 12 away. So I'd like to hit that 10,000 mark. It seems like you get that. That's one of those plateau levels. The algorithm smiles on you a little more favorably after you hit that.
Nice. He's been tearing it up. I'm telling you, he's, you know, podcast royalty now, man. And, you know, mine is Journey Through the Gate, and you can see Steve there every Monday night. We do a little thing called Monday Madness. You never know what we're going to talk about, but I guarantee we're going to talk about it. And Sunday nights I do 8 p.m. and have guests. And this week we're doing Haunted Chicago, Tragedy, Bullets, and Haunts. So come on over and get in a live chat. It's a live show, and we have a great time. And Steve and I are always on there together, and Donnie Cho and a lot of other guests, and we're just exploring this wonderful world of, you know, we're all such a part of, you know, and it never gets old. And the, you know, whether it's Bigfoot or ghost stories, it's just an amazing thing to explore. And I've loved this 7 years of exploring the wonders of this subject, because that's great paranormal onion, right, Steve? Keep peeling that, baby.
And there are no answers. It's just the quest for the next set of questions.
Right.
Come join us on her channel, on my channels. We've got a big, happy family over there. You're only a stranger once. We have some of the best chats over on Cisco's show and over on 13 Past Midnight. We've got a really, just like close-knit over there. I mean, it feels like brothers and sisters over there.
It really does. Yep. You know, come be a part of both live chats. Everybody in there will help you. We call them gatekeepers on my show, guide you down this journey. But the number one thing, enjoy the journey. You know, the hardships as well. You know, it's something that's coming along to shape you and shift you, and try to, you know, understand the beauty of whole thing too, because I think that's what we're here to do, and help each other and love each other through it. Enjoy the journey.
Cisco, what's the name of your channel?
Journey Through the Gate.
Journey Through the Gate.
We walk through that gate, and we walk that trail together and try to figure it out. I'll tell you, there's a lot of head scratching going on, but we have a lot of laughs too.
Well,
Cisco likes those long titles. It's actually Journey Through the Gate Paranormal Portal Podcast.
That's it right there, baby.
Yeah, we got to get the whole thing out there.
Type the whole thing in and you can find it.
That's right.
Yep.
Predictive text may bring it up.
You know, 50 years, we're still, you know, Steve and I, we're still looking for answers, but we've learned to kick back and see the wonder in it all too, because it's an amazing ride, man.
It sure is. Heck, really is.
Trade it for anything.
I second that motion for sure. Well, happy Halloween, you guys. Steve, happy early birthday. I love you both.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes, a you. Big happy birthday in the desert. Joining
come
me in the
join
desert.
Us Halloween. We'll all be together on Halloween night, Sandy and Steve and me and Donnie Cho. You can wear your costumes and celebrate Steve's birthday and carve a pumpkin or drink a pumpkin or drink vodka out of a pumpkin, whatever you want to do.
Oh, there
you
go.
Bring your own candy and libations, and bring your own ghost stories. We're going to have a good old time. So enjoy this.
Well, thank you guys for coming
thank
on
you,
for
Shannon,
year
so
seven.
Appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to year eight.
Absolutely. Thank you guys.
Thank you.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, sweetheart.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little fire. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. There is
the only real you that there is. The Zen master Dogen put it this way. He said, spring does not become summer. First there is summer, and then there is spring.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.